stakeholders and the online survey, and encourage people who haven't done the online survey, it's open until Friday, to complete it. So Eric and Fred, why don't you come up and let us know what we'll be doing today, and then when Trustee Zito comes, we'll just continue with him. Oh, before we start, I have one public comment, which is from Suzanne. That's okay. Suzanne, did you want to make public comment?
Sorry, guys.
That's okay. Come on up.
All right, really quick. All right. So, Suzanne Lima, I know you've heard a lot from ETA about how important getting stakeholder input is in choosing our next superintendent. We wholeheartedly believe in the benefits of a shared leadership model. And a superintendent who believes her role is to support schools and work with different groups of people is instrumental in achieving that model. I've taught in this district for 22 years, mostly second grade, but I've taught several years of a 2-3 combo and a 1-2 combo. Working with this kids this age has taught me a lot, but interestingly enough, one of the things I've learned through my years is just how important it is to have student choice and buy-in in my classes. And just to illustrate the point, I'm going to really quickly tell you about two of the programs I do in my class. I use programs like Writer's Workshop with my kids, and the basic premise is the teacher gives a very short mini lesson and the kids have writing time. Time where they choose what they want to write about, what's important to them. Now, believe it or not, it takes a lot of effort to teach kids choice when it comes to schoolwork. Without several lessons about generating ideas, half my students would sit and say, "What do I write about?" or "I don't have anything to write about." There are still times we have to review how to come up with ideas even now. But the quality of work that arises from their ability to choose what to write about and writing about something they care about is amazing. I also have started using Daily 5 during my language arts block. The basic premise of this is, over the course of the first few weeks of school, I introduce 5 activities that can be done independently. I spend a great deal of time going over expectations, modeling appropriate and inappropriate behavior, and clearly discussing teacher and student goals. And the goals are really simple. Students' goals are to become better readers and writers, and my goal is to work with students. But the outcome is twofold. The most obvious is it allows me time to meet with individual students or small groups, then I can tailor my lessons to their needs. But the second positive outcome is they choose what they think they should work on, allowing them to take responsibility for their learning. Almost every block of Daily 5, right before they start, right after they tell me what they're going to work on, I remind them, remember, choose what you think you need to do to be a better reader or writer. Incorporating models of teaching that allow for students to have choice leads to voice and a sense of responsibility for their learning. This is so much more powerful because we are working together. They feel the necessary buy-in to really grow to their potential. This is my hope for our district. We have the opportunity to change the culture of Evergreen. Shared leadership and authentic collaboration can create the buy-in needed to move us forward in a positive direction. But this change starts at the top. This is why you've heard so much from ETA leadership about teacher input in this process. To put it bluntly, we are tired of having to react to administration's policies, practices, directives, etc., with our own demands to bargain, complaints, and grievances. We know our time can be better spent working with administration to identify areas of concern or issues before these policies are put in place. And we know how we really want to spend our time, creating fabulous lessons for our students. Thank you.
Thanks, Suzanne.
Thank you.
Okay, so Eric and Fred, it's your show now.
Hey, thank you guys so much for having us here. We have had quite a bit of rich input from the community, and we will continue to do so on Friday. As we said, we've met with over 40 different groups and or individuals, and they've not been shy regarding providing information for us, and so we're proud of that. We will look at the information and determine what trends and things that come up in terms of the 3 questions that we're going to ask you. The first one, prompt, I should say, the first prompt will be, what are the traits and characteristics that you would like to see in the next superintendent of Evergreen School District? We'll follow that up with the prompt of, what are the strengths of the district? And this is an opportunity for the board, as we talk to the public, to brag about Evergreen. We want to be able to, a person to look at the flyer and say, hey, I want to work in that district. So it's an opportunity for you really to brag about it. And then we'll be blunt and we'll ask you about what are the challenges that the district faces so that anyone who comes in has a clear picture of what characteristics, or whoever applies, knows what characteristics we're looking for specifically, has an idea of here are the strengths of the district, things that the district does well from the board's perspective as well as the community's perspective, and then here are the challenges along the way as well, because we do believe that finding the best superintendent candidates will require us to paint a very authentic and clear picture of the district itself so that we can match the desires that the board has, the community has relayed to us with the right candidates for you along the way. So the way this works, basically we'll do the same thing we did with the public, and that is we'll start by asking the first question: what are the traits and characteristics that you would like to see in the next superintendent? An opportunity to dream, to expand, to be positive. Fred will be here. He will be taking notes.
Actually, I'm going to go over there.
It's harder to take notes standing up.
Get out of here, Fred. Fred works as stenographer speed with typing, and so we're very impressed with him. And so, Fred, let's begin.
I just want to make one comment. It has been truly an honor to meet with all the community and all the staff and everybody else, the church groups, all the other things. And you're in a very special place. You have people truly that want to make and be part of this district and want to make it better. And I just want to say that on the front end as we go through this part.
Thank you. So I'm going to ask the board here about how you'd like to do the process. We can either popcorn, which is fine. I'm okay with popcorning, and then we'll do the carousel, which we always do, or we can go around once, then go around again. So do we want to just popcorn at the start? Would that be easiest?
Might be quicker if we just
go
like that and then just keep
and
starting
just
with a different person.
Okay.
Just so that it keeps the flow going.
Okay, that would be fine.
I am taking the official minutes here on this thing, so if you're going too fast, I will slow you down.
We do talk fast. And then the other thing, too, is obviously we don't want to repeat what other people have said, but I do feel like if more than one of us believes it, they have the right to repeat it, right? So is that okay with everybody?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you hear something someone said, you can just say ditto that, just so he knows that many of us are thinking in the same way.
I'm fairly talented at this.
Okay, Marisa.
Okay, so as you all know, I've been in education for 25 years, and the past 11 of those years, I worked closely with three different superintendents in Eastside Union High School District. So that gave me the opportunity to really get to know what the role of a superintendent is and what things that I really like. And so having been in that position of working closely with the superintendent, the things that I really appreciated was really good communication and somebody that's easy to get a hold of, somebody that definitely has an open door policy, that's welcoming, that listens to the concerns of people. It doesn't matter if you are a janitor, a classroom teacher, or a director. I think that the ideal superintendent is somebody that listens to all voices, and that's super important to me. In the role that I was in, I just got to really spend some time, and so one of the other things that I really liked is a superintendent that works closely with the bargaining units. And so that would be that prior to every school board meeting, that superintendent would be meeting with the bargaining units and going over the agenda with them, explaining to them some of the decisions that were made. He respects their opinions. He listens to them closely. So I'll let other people go on. I mean, we also go on.
Again.
So try to keep it to a couple minutes each, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chris?
You didn't leave much for me. What's up? Finding the right superintendent, we all have, we're looking for the super person, right? And so mostly it's, certainly they have to be an instructional leader. I'm not necessarily adamant about having somebody with previous superintendent experience because, that rules out some of our fine in-house candidates. The fact that they need to be, at this point, super communicators and leaders in through some very tough challenges we have ahead of us. So they got to be really good at that. And of course they will. I mean, we're not going to give it to somebody who's not good at that. In terms of being an instructional leader, we do have a lot of great things going on now, and I don't expect somebody to come in and really change what we have going. I don't see any instructional areas that just call out for change me. More it's going to be improve me if it's necessary, but mostly listening to the people that are actually doing the work, and that would be our principals, our teachers, and then on the other hand, our classified staff. There's a lot of good things going on. Like Marisa said, nobody can learn this, but certain people have an ability to talk with anybody and get over the fact that they actually listen to actually my people. It's not everybody has that, so we'll be looking for somebody that has that trait. And I'll move on.
Okay.
Jim.
Okay, thank you for this opportunity. So I bring 30 years of private sector to the board and worked with many leaders in the business community, and I believe that the CEO of our district is our superintendent for the most part. It's the person who really looks after both the business aspect, but even more importantly, the customer service aspect of the district. And our customers are our students and our parents.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They really, truly need to have their finger on the pulse of the community, specifically the student and parents. Okay, and then the other stakeholders in the community that may not have students in the schools, but are directly affected by what the schools do. Okay, so therefore they need to be collaborative, they need to be transparent, and they need to be a visionary and understand how to use best practices. They may not have all the ideas, the board may not have all the ideas, the immediate cabinets and direct stakeholders might not, but they know how to reach out and learn from what's out there and bring that back to the community, bring that back to the board and say, I see what's working here. Is that something we want to try?
Okay.
Good. Ooh, so are we going back around?
Many times.
Many, many times because, I'm a teacher at heart. I've been in education forever. As a teacher, a school counselor, assistant principal, as a parent, as a student, my whole life has been education. And that's many, many years. And I approached it from a teacher's perspective. I reflected, and I have many, many things that I wrote down. But one thing I want to say is that we need someone who is a visionary with a good instructional program, a vision for good instructional programs, be it the ones we have in place or ones that are needed, someone who can help to execute good programs for teaching and learning, because I believe it really is in the classroom with the teachers and the students. So we need to have the person reach to that point. But you get to that point from many different traits, many different skills. And one of the skills is a person who can have relationship with everybody, all people, parents, students, teachers, CSEA, cabinet members, community members, business partners, someone who will work with all groups and not just certain groups or choice groups, mm-hmm. Groups that they feel are the only interest to the community. There are many, many groups that are not always included, and I think everyone should be included and their voices should be heard. And so that's my first thought, is about the students and the teachers. Then that goes, of course, out to the parents, and then all of the people that are working within the district. So that includes everybody. So we need somebody who can collaborate with all the different folks. Also be an active listener. Has the ability to assess educational programs constantly, seeing if whether they are good or if they need to be tweaked or omitted. So that's where I'm going to stop right now. I got more, but we'll go back around.
So I'm going to say something that someone just said a few minutes ago. So my interest is voice and choice. Okay. I want, like most of my comrades here, I want a visionary, forward-thinking, 21st century leader who can work collaboratively with everyone and give voice to all those interests, be they union, be they principal, from the bottom up, so that we can see what they need and we can be responsive to them. So I'm not looking for a top-down person. I'm looking for a bottoms-up. The other thing, as many of my friends said, but I'm going to add, is someone who has strong instructional and budget expertise. Instructional expertise is critical because we're about student achievement and equity, which is the other thing we want, right? So student achievement and equity require strong instructional expertise, budget expertise, because the thing that we're dealing with now is fiscal health, declining enrollment, and budget challenges. Mm-hmm. So someone who has strong in that. And then the last thing that no one said, which I'm going to add to, is someone who has a background in dealing with external partnerships. So we live in a large community with a lot of groups that could potentially partner with us. We haven't been as strong as we could. We have some partners, such as New Tech, but I would like to see someone who comes from a place where they've had experience with external partners and external partnerships so that they can bring revenue, opportunity, and things like that to our district. And above all, I want to see good labor management relations, so that person has to have experience in good labor management relations and moving the board forward. So that's what I'm going to say for now, and then we'll go back around.
Do a check-in with Fred. You doing okay?
Yeah. We're doing okay?
The spelling's a little off.
Okay. We won't check you on spelling, yeah. Fred. Marisa?
I think we pretty much covered the things that I was thinking about.
Chris?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Again, we're looking for that superhero. But the, we're going into a... We're in the middle of a budget crisis, and in the foreseeable future, we're going to have some budget problems. So that person's got to be able to not only figure that out and be the visionary to lead us through that, but actually to communicate exactly what the budget problem is and how we're going to solve it. It's great that they'd be an instructional leader, but, it does come down to the money, and they got to be very good at that, I must say.
Jim?
Yeah, I mean, most of what my colleague said really hits the nail on the head. I'll go back to what I said about transparent, and that's an easy word to just throw out there, but what do we mean by that, right? So somebody who's completely honest and open, kind of like the whole truth and nothing but the truth kind of a thing, right? Somebody who's willing to... explain things, right, and with a very high sensitivity to optics, yes. Right? So yeah. It's not hiding it. It's basically specifying things, not being afraid to say what things really are and how they are, but in a way that always gives hope, right? Because it's never as bad as it seems most of the time. The other aspect is that at least... Certainly with the board, working with the board. So I'm going to get into board relations a little bit, okay. Right? Okay. Being a partner with the board, be part of the board, and that there are no hidden agendas, right? That there's no, the board's elected, so we're going to go ahead and do what we want to do, and, we'll get a new board in 2 years anyway kind of thing, right? Because the board really is supposed to be the voice of the community, and that's everybody in the community, right? And so... I would like to see a superintendent who has the qualities that some of our past superintendents have had, who have worked with the board very closely, but even take that one step further. Work together, maybe more workshops, more open workshops to the community, so that we can work together, be transparent, and define those common goals and work together toward those common goals.
Leila.
Okay, so I'll go back to my list. And ditto what everybody is saying. Visibility in the community, like I like to see those LCAP meetings really filled with parents, lots of parents there, or another way to reach out to the parents through surveys or something, because I want real parent input and not that we just had the meeting and this many parents showed up or we sent out a message and this many parents knew about it. We really need to have our community engaged, especially like Mr. Corpus is saying, right now we're going through a lot of challenges in budget and declining enrollment are some of those challenges, but we have many more, but those are biggies. So we need someone out there with the message of what is really happening and a truthful, clear collaborative understanding and willing to get feedback from those stakeholders. Also, because of the challenges, I would like to see in the superintendent a person that had skills and traits of many of the cabinet members, like knows something about instruction. Right now we need somebody to know a lot about budget, budgeting and things like that, and just all aspects of, not that they have to be skilled in every area, but right now I think we need somebody really strong in the area of budget. That's been a real concern of mine since the day I came on the board. It was like the second meeting. We're voting everybody off because of the budget and this and the closing schools. And I was like, what did I get myself into? But anyway, we really need somebody strong in that that area. And also I want to mention that we need to have somebody that, you know, it's like open, honest, have a lot of integrity. Relationships with all groups of people, not just certain groups that are seem to be the important folks, but all folks. And let's see, just good communication skills in setting those goals and looking at and getting those goals accomplished and leading people down the way. This is our goal. This is what we're doing. This is where we're at with our goal, you know, and where we're headed. So there's a sense of knowing what we're doing in our district. So I'll stop right there if I have some more, but I'll give somebody else time.
Ditto, Lena. So I have just three more that no one else mentioned, so I'll mention those. One is I want someone who has some experience in the California environment. I mean, my personal preference would be to hire someone from California. It doesn't necessarily have to be from the Bay Area, but California is kind of unique.
Push questions, I'm gonna
yeah, you're going to ask us that. So just from my perspective, they have to have some familiarity, have worked in some district level. The other thing is we have an unusual situation here because we have title schools and it's kind of a strange orientation in our district, right? So someone who understands how to work in a district that's not all affluent and not all impoverished, right? We have a mix and we need someone who understands how to work in that title environment. And then the last thing is we have a community that's very diverse. So I want someone, no matter what they look like or where they come from themselves, they have to be able to be comfortable with all the different cultural groups that we have and ethnic groups, religious groups, whatever, because we have a very, very diverse community. So someone who understands and appreciates diversity and sees the benefits of it. That's me.
And I would take it one step further. I would like somebody, regardless of how they look, but have had some experience with diversity in different culture groups that have been in an environment where they have actually worked with different diverse groups. That was one of the things that I was going to convey next in the next round. So dare you body on it, because we do have a diverse group of children, and we need somebody to have had experience with diverse children. Don't look on my
But I'm just going to, just because Lila said something that just I want to say it's really important. Every child needs to succeed in this district. So I want a superintendent that has that expectation that every child, I don't want a superintendent that's going to say, well, those children are. I want every child to know that they're valued from the superintendent to the board. Okay. Around.
So going this way now. Yeah, it's coming this way now. So I was going to hit that too, as somebody who has experience with diverse medium-sized districts like we have. I think we're kind of medium-sized, I'd say, you know, 12 to 13,000. And somebody who has some experience or has a vision in how to attract and retain students. Okay, we have a huge problem with declining enrollment, and whatever kids are out there, we need them all. So that's big.
Well, even the ones that are ours that supposedly are leaving, we'll attract new ones too.
That's right. Attract the retain.
Well, that doesn't mean make more babies, however.
Well, you can. That's okay.
5 years. Again, in terms of the diversity thing, it's the for tomorrow's meeting, right? For the they understand diversity, but they have actually a positive experience in bringing forth if there are problems in relations going on. Again, ours is not only there are very many different ethnicities, but also our economic diversity. It's big. That's a big deal here.
That came across.
You're probably catching that. I think I'll take another chance.
Marisa, I guess the last thing I'll comment on is that I like working with the superintendent that will consider making a different decision. Maybe they're still going to stick to the same decision, but that they're open to exploring why someone has that decision that they're trying to convince them on. It's okay to disagree, and I think that's going to happen.
Yep.
You know, people are not always going to get along. But at least if the superintendent says, okay, I'm listening to your opinion, I'm going to think about it, I'm going to do some exploring, and I'll come back. And even if they come back and give me the same answer that they gave me in the past, I respect that more than someone who says, nope, this is my decision, this is the way it's going to be, I'm not changing my mind. And that's not the type of person that I want to see here. I want to see the person that's open to listening and to taking in the information, and then being okay to be saying, you know what, I was wrong, I made a bad decision, and I'm willing to meet you halfway, or you know what, you've explained it to me, and I'm going to change my mind. So I think that's super important.
Anyone else?
And like you said, and to come back and be open with the communication, transparent, clear, with logical reasons for why things have to be or need to be. I think sometimes superintendents have hard decisions. I know as a little principal, I had hard decisions, but I was careful to try to explain to my staff, Suzanne, why I had to make you see, just whether we agreed or not, I always tried to find a way to say, this is why it has to be this way. You guys may not understand why I have to make these decisions, but let me try to explain and see if we could, so I could get sympathy. No, not really. But just making people, I think people are, when they know real facts and the real reasons, they work better together. So that's where that integrity thing come. And finally, and this is really going to be my last comments on this, I would really want somebody that have the ability to inspire. I have outlived numerous superintendents since I've worked, and let's not even talk about the school age and the superintendents I knew and all of those. Even I had my favorites, and I had the ones that I didn't like a lot. But let me just say that even though I may not have agreed or had the same philosophies, people who can inspire, regardless to the differences, I want to work. I want to perform. And also, I would love to have somebody with a sense of humor.
Oh, yeah, that's
just
number one.
Laugh sometime. You know, just
enjoy.
Because it's tough work. It's tough work for everybody. For the whole, from all of us, it's tough work. And sometimes we just need to laugh. And there used to be times where we brought the board, the district, and everybody together for celebrations. We haven't had that in many, 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 many years. And I think if you're doing all work and you're not having any fun, it doesn't get any better. So I'm done.
I agree with Leela, and I think in addition to having a sense of humor, the most important thing is for a superintendent to realize that this is a passion for all of us, right? So a lot of times the people, because I work throughout the whole county, the people who are the most successful with their governance teams are ones who realize that good ideas can come from anyone, right? I'm not the, and I shouldn't be the repository of good ideas, right? I'm the collector and the facilitator, and that's really what we'd like a superintendent to be. They're outside, they're the leader, but inside, a good idea can come from any place, from the janitor all the way up, right?
There's a saying that the smartest person in the room is the room.
That's true.
So,
Jim, anything else?
Yeah, so I was going to key off of what Leela said. Looks like we're reading from the same playbook.
Somebody who does stuff.
Right? somebody who does their homework, right? Somebody who really and truly does their homework and does the research and looks into things. And I heard it a couple of times from my colleagues, as far as I think this is an amazing board, that they share their reasoning, right? They share their motivations for why they do or why they feel the way they do. And, you know, the next thing that I think is real important is assuming best intentions, right? So when you're collaborative and you assume best intentions, then you're basically saying that everybody is looking for the same general outcome, right? We want the kids to succeed. We want to have a super high-performing district. We want to be successful. We want to stay in the black all the time. And so that's a lot of demands that are put on us. So if we all assume best intentions and we're trying to get to the same place, as you had said, we can get there many different ways, and the best ideas may not be up here. It might be in the room or even just outside the room. Mm-hmm. So do your homework, assume best intentions, and go forward with the vision that is shared.
Anyone else? Chris?
One last thing is that we've had a history of superintendents that stayed a while. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how we can get at that, but I'm not really don't want to be a school district that is a stepping stone for somebody. They gotta be willing and able to come in and be part of our community for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you know, they do have to count to three on a board, but but if they're that type of person that can have an extended run, then there is a good synergy between the board, the superintendent, and then everybody else in the entire district. But that's something that I will look at. I'm not sure how I would tease that out. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Fred and Eric, would you be able to you qualify under these rules that we have?
Retired. They're retired.
Yeah, retired.
Look at me, Andy.
Yeah, retired.
Andrews is like, oh no,
you wouldn't even choose peer review.
I would absolutely love.
I paid my debt to society.
Loved it. When I was done.
You were done.
Well, we don't know. I'm not going to hire you, but the...
we want to know
because I know y'all retired. I'll retire too. There's no way I'm coming back. But
that was a trick question.
That's a trick question. Is that, my point is that we're looking for somebody that is a superhero. And we'll get somewhere very close. Use a map thing. We'll get to the tangent.
You know, that's what we're looking for, too.
Now we all look at that. Marisa?
Oh, I'm good.
The only thing that no one said, that you'll probably ask this is, I think it's important to have someone who has some K-8 experience.
This is true, yes, absolutely.
K-8 or unified experience is a must, like, for a permanent superintendent. Have to have someone. And definitely in a like district, so they kind of understand what we're going through. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else have anything
else
to add?
Yeah. So we're talking about somebody who knows how to go out and use best practices, right? Go out, and so obviously it would make sense that they'd have enough experiences where they have enough connections to know where to go to find the answers, right? And if they got some influence in places where we need them to have influence, that's always a good thing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So. Somebody did say this, but it's on my list and I didn't check it off, so I want to just make sure.
All right.
Problem solver and a strategic thinker. We need a problem solver person who.
Yeah, and
the
last thing I'll say is there's an expression in hockey, you know, don't skate to where the puck is, skate to where the puck will be. And that's actually, like, for me, that's the most important thing. I want a leader who can skate to where the puck will be, because where we are now is not going to be where we're going to be in 5 years, right? And if we want our district to continue to be its great self, then we need to figure out where that puck is going. So, yeah.
That's a good segue.
Hold on. Anybody else want to say anything else? Great.
Awesome. You're great.
No. Awesome.
You're great.
Those fingers.
So here's your opportunity to truly brag and talk about here are the wonderful things that are going on in Evergreen. And so that, again, when we are advertising or speaking with potential candidates, we can say, here's some great things about the district you need to know. They may know some of it, but there are a lot of things that only you know. So what are the strengths of this district?
You want a popcorn or go around again? Who wants to start?
So,
Jim.
I think you hit the nail on the head when you first started. Mm-hmm. You know, you met with some of the community. You saw some of our stakeholders. We have a very highly educated and involved community. Mm-hmm. I think that whoever takes on the new position is going to have to be working with them and working with them at a very high level. Right, because there are many, many high-achieving parents and groups that expect a lot from this from this community, the school community, right? So we do have fantastic parents, fantastic students, and very, very involved people who are willing to step up and help us out when we ask.
Okay.
Yep. Very involved.
I think we have the best teachers on the planet. They have had the best access to the best professional development. And every time you say writer's workshop, you know that does something to me because I love that. But in our community, our workforce, I've been in Evergreen forever, and no matter what we go through, we support each other. Even through our differences and our ups and our downs, people will support each other when it is necessary, and that to me is a strength. Our manpower is really supportive of each other. You know, anybody can pick up a paper and look at all the awards we've won for our parent involvement, for our ELD program, our test scores, but just a safe environment. You know, we don't have, our students are not, you know, we're not known for like fighting and unsafe mm-hmm. campuses. We're known for like really academically inclined schools, tough teachers, good teachers, teachers who want to see their kids go on to college. We have our pre-college programs. I know in some of the schools, especially at the middle school level, we have some of those programs. We have our parents engaged in so many different programs, and we have the best reclassification celebration known to mankind.
We do. We have a good reclassification.
I mean, it's just so many different things, and I've been around the districts to some of the programs that we just had this month, celebrating Chinese New Year's and other different mm-hmm. activities. I'm going out to No One Eats Alone. I think mm-hmm. that's Friday at Clark.
Friday.
So, you know, we have a lot of great walk and roll programs, teacher engagement with the students and the things they do beyond and over and above, and the cabinet that works to do whatever they can within their power to support the principals in those sites. We just have a good working environment. I'm very passionate. I love Evergreen, and I think it's still good things to come. We just need to get it together, and I think with the superintendent that understands our community,
yeah,
to understand the culture of Evergreen is going to be very, very important.
Chris, Marisa?
I think one of the things that's neat about how this community grew, I think the history of the community would be important to explain to the superintendent that, you know, 30 years ago, so much of the homes weren't around. There's, you know, those last 20 years, this area, they built homes, they built, you know, the high school, Evergreen Valley High School. Everything just got built up from to where it was, to where it is. And yes, there has been some decline. I think that's important for them to understand that we were going up, 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 up for so long because we just kept building, 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 and then the building of the community stopped, and then now we're slowly declining. So I think they need to start, whoever comes in needs to understand that piece, but that it is a great big community, and there is a little bit more new housing. I think another important thing is that the staff, they do live, a lot of the staff lives either within the district or a little outside, because when I talk to people, I say, oh, where do you live? And they live in the immediate area. Maybe they don't live in this exact part of San Jose, but I think that they need to understand that the staff is part of the community as well. They don't just drive home at the end of the day. They stick around, and they're part of the events. You know, I recently was at a couple of events these last couple of weeks, and staff is there, whether it's a nighttime event like a dance or it's an honors night. They're there to celebrate with the kids. And if they live real far, they wouldn't want to do that because it would be too hard to commute. So I think that that's super important, that people participate as when they don't have to, per se, they're buying into it.
Chris?
Yeah, the Evergreen is known to be first in lots of different areas, and we've been first in for many, many years, and it's. But one of the things, you know, we've been building the new schools, but now we're renovating schools, and so now we're, I think, I'd like to believe that we're in the vanguard of creating learning spaces. We're not putting up buildings, we're putting up learning spaces, and that that takes a lot of work. There's a lot of input from the teachers, and a lot of work from the folks that actually, the architects and the people that actually construct the buildings, because that's an important part of teaching and learning. So, but we've also been first in parent involvement. Before, parent involvement was a mandate. We were doing that in very strong ways. Denise Williams gets a lot of respect for all that she's done in that area. Our staff development, I believe we were probably one of the first to innovate and have Thursday staff development days. That's not a normal thing. And even still, you walk around, when I go to other meetings, people are like, what? Thursdays? You got Thursdays to do stuff? Yeah, I say, well, no, we've been doing that for a long time, very long time. But again, so lots of firsts, not that we always want to be first. I know that Jim Smith used to tell us to stay out of the news.
That's good. Don't be in the news.
Number one rule.
Stay out of the news. But when there were positive things, that go ahead and get out in front of the news. And the fact that we have so many distinguished schools, the National Blue Ribbon schools, that doesn't happen by happenstance, and it doesn't happen by a single person. It happens with everybody working together to do that.
And I want to add that we have amazing site leadership. I mean, there's, every single principal is a good site leader, a strong site leader. They themselves could have other roles elsewhere. I mean, they're very, very strong, and they understand their individual schools, so it's not a template, right? So the principal leadership and Classified, I'm going to do shout out to Classified, right? We have Classified is often the unsung hero, but we have really dedicated Classified, and I'll say that a lot of the Classified folks were like me. They started in the community. They live in the community. My neighbor down the block is a Classified person, right? I mean, I started that way. So, like Marisa said, a lot of us come from that place. And I do want to give a shout out to the board. We have a lot of expertise. And we have complementary expertise, right? So the board itself is a strength in the sense that we, I mean, I come from the CSBA world. Lila and Chris come from principal world. Yeah. Teacher, we have corporate, right? We have a lot of expertise up here. And the teachers, too, are, really stellar. So I would say that the bones are great, and we want someone who can really make a good flesh out on those bones, right? Anybody else? Jim?
So I want to key off of something that Chris said as far as visibility. Right. We have made strides to become more visible, and to really, we were not that good at bragging about ourselves. And I think that was, the humility is great, right? But on the other hand, given the competitive nature of what's going on out there, we really need to. I get, dozen solicitations every week from schools want my kid to go to kindergarten. I don't even have a kindergarten kid, right? So, but I get him all the time, right? So, come to our schools. Here's all the great things that we do, right?
Yep.
And I think that we do need to tout our accomplishments and to excuse the phrase, but sell ourselves. I mean, we are in a competitive environment. Go out there, celebrate all of the accomplishments that we've done. And when we renovate a school, make a big deal about it. The other thing I want to do is key off of something that was said regarding the individual school communities. I think that it's very true that our principals do a wonderful job of building the community within their school boundary, right? Not saying they don't go outside that, but certainly within the school boundary. And the principals and teachers within that school tend to know their community very, very well. So I would like to see a superintendent who gives a little bit more flexibility to the principals and to the teachers to kind of, come up with their own vision on how to outreach to their community and work with their community to meet the needs of their community. We have 18 schools, and each community is unique in many ways. And we, as was said before, we span that whole spectrum of, affluent to Title I and vice versa. Multi-language families and single-language families and the whole thing. So have more flexibility, get more input, and let the individual captains run their troops, if you will, right? Run their regiments a little bit more.
Any other strengths? I have one more if no one can think of any. Anyone else?
I was thinking, I feel like us as a board, we're open to change. And I think, when somebody comes into a position, they don't want to feel like they have to do it like the previous person did it.
Right.
And that hey, maybe they have a good idea as a new superintendent. And I would hope that, this board would be like, oh, well, let's hear what you got to do. And maybe we're going to do something different that we've been doing the same way for 20 years. But I would hope that would be a strength within this board.
Yeah, we are very forward-thinking, change-minded. The one thing I forgot, which is really important strength, is we have so many external partners. You wouldn't believe how many external partners this district has. I mean, New Tech is sort of obvious, but we have vendors, we have partners, that's a huge strength. We have probably more partners than a lot of other districts. And so a person coming in is going to already own a lot of those partnerships, right? We just want to expand them. And we have an FRC, a Family Resource Center, right? We've got tons and tons of partnerships.
I think the one other thing that's very specific is we have an excellent credit rating. We have a very, very high credit rating, and we're very capable of, meeting our financial needs, and have had that reputation for a long time, which is a strong asset.
Not something that's typically branded, but important to brand.
It is important because, like a lot of districts, they go on the, they're always unqualified, and
right.
We're not.
Private, especially.
Yeah.
Right. More and more are becoming qualified.
Right.
It's something
right.
that.
And our community stands behind us because I don't think we've missed a bond or
a parcel tax.
Parcel tax.
That's another strength. Bonds
right.
and parcel tax passage is,
very high.
Anyone else? Okay, Eric.
Challenges.
That's always the easy one right now.
We're doing a SWAT here.
That's right. We are absolutely SWAT.
Obviously, declining enrollment. That's a challenge.
Number one. Fiscal
budget.
Declining enrollment.
Fiscal health.
The challenges are always the unknowns, right?
Right. What are we going to do?
We never know
schools?
What next year is going to bring, as far as who the governor is and what's they're going to give us, right?
The dilemma with the facilities: are we going to keep all the schools open?
Yep.
But what might we do in the future?
Yep.
This could be a challenge, industry. We're kind of working with a skeleton crew in every department. Especially in the classified, we are working with a skeleton crew.
Yeah.
And, it's a strength in the sense that we did what we needed to do to pay our bills and qualify the budget. But on the other hand, when you're light on manpower, that means that work goes to other people. And, again, we got some troopers. They just keep trooping along. But, that's a challenge right now, I think.
I think in certain areas, while we've made some great strides, we still have that challenge of student achievement. Mm-hmm. There are still areas and schools that we want to see do better, mm-hmm. that are going to take a little extra effort and some more creative thinking.
I think that actually it's not only that we don't have student achievement in some areas, we have a huge when you look at our district, there's really high, and then there's some subgroups in some areas that are very low. And although we've made a lot of work towards helping these students, and we've done a lot of that work, it remains to be seen that that's a big challenge, right? I think the three biggest challenges are labor management relations, is one, fiscal health, and that's everything, budget, declining enrollment, finance, facilities, the whole thing, the whole package, and instruction. How do we do programs which are innovative but yet can reach every child so that we don't have to be in, program improvement, right? Those are to me. And also, this is the elephant in the room, so I'm just going to speak it, is trust, right? I'm not going to talk about the past, but we're coming out of an era where I need a superintendent and a board that's going to work together and restore trust in so everyone feels like they trust us, we trust them, right?
Okay.
That's a challenge.
Getting out communication and input for those disenfranchised communities. We have subgroups, and then we have some groups that don't even make up a subgroup, but they're here.
Yeah.
And no one ever looks at their stuff except for people like me. And they get kind of buried underneath. And now go back to like the LCAP. I would like to see, somebody. That's a challenge for us to get all. And I don't know if any super person could do it, but I think we could do better in Evergreen, getting more of those people involved. And then Bonnie, that goes along with when you get all of those groups involved, then you will see them working with the school, and then you will see those the data start going up for everybody. But we got to get those groups engaged, and I don't feel like we really have made a concerted effort to get certain groups that are not counted engaged in this whole process.
And that's just one thing, the linguistic, so there is a challenge with the fact that we have so many linguistic groups in our, I mean, we try the best we can, but to know how to engage every linguistic group in the way that they understand is difficult, and that's, to me, a huge challenge. And if the superintendent understands that, that's going to go a long
way. That's part of the culture thing, and that's part of the job.
Yeah. Anyone else? Challenges?
Chris? You know, the linguistic groups, they want their kids to be achievers. There's, I don't care who they are, where they come from, which economic group. That's number one, and so that should be our number one focus is student achievement. Mm-hmm. Without like overly using data. Data should be useful, not a bludgeon. Like, oh, you didn't do that. No, these are kids that these are living and breathing and. Sometimes happy, sometimes kids with challenges just in their own lives, mm-hmm. and so when they come to school to learn, it's a difficult thing. Mm-hmm. But the main thing is that again, focusing on student achievement up and down the road, because the it's true that we don't have any school on the dashboard that's double red. Or five reds, and that's really good, actually. Because we do have some challenging schools, but it's not because the ones that are having challenges is because there's a high percentage of students that are learning English, and that's a tough thing for those kids to achieve. At the same time, give them 5 years, and we can prove that if they stay in our schools for 5 years, they'll do well, but as we know, those families also move, and so we don't get credit for the fact that they run the track to achieve. It doesn't show up on our dashboard. On the other hand, our teachers do a great job in trying to meet those needs, and it's a difficult task. If anybody's ever been in a classroom, well, God bless you all. It's a hard thing, and it takes that dedication. And so part of that dedication is they also want to feel. From the top down, they want to feel like they're respected and that people notice the great work they're doing. And that goes along with our classified staff too. They, like Lila was saying, with a bare bones staff, our facilities look great.
Yeah, they do.
You drive around to some of these other places, like, ooh, mm-hmm. ouch.
And our biggest challenge, I think, overall is housing costs. Right? Housing costs and just the cost of living. It's hard for us to keep teachers. It's hard for us to get new teachers. It's hard for us to get... I mean, everything is related to that. If we had a less of a cost... If we lived in, you know, wherever, we would have an easier time. So that's a challenge we can't do anything about. Marisa?
I think it was just... I was just thinking the challenge of is the students and, you know, where their backgrounds are. I know that when I first started teaching... It was hard for me because I had these students tell me about some things that were happening in their home life. And, you know, they come from broken homes and low income and parents that possibly have been in jail and things like that. You know, that's a challenge. It's a challenge for the teacher. It's a challenge for the district. We want to make sure that we get them the resources that they need. And it's not, we don't have as much mental health, you know, money as that we'd want to have. And that's a challenge. Mm-hmm. We got to support these kids emotionally. Because they bring all that in the classroom. And when I was a first-year teacher, I went home at the end of the day, and I was like, oh, man, this is a lot. And I'm expecting this kid to come to school every day and get an A in my class, you know. So that's a challenge, definitely.
And Marisa has a special ed child, but SPED funding is one of the biggest. So as I've been here for 20 years in this district, and our encroachment is just getting larger. Just because more kids, we have more kids with Asperger's, more kids with autism, and how do we serve them? So that's a huge challenge, right, SPED funding.
Good.
Anybody else? Yeah? Okay.
Good. So I have a couple other questions to ask. We've resolved that you would like somebody to be a teacher, have teaching experience. Mm-hmm. How You mentioned, Bonnie, something about California person.
Yeah.
Definitely. She is nodding, so yes for
yes.
that.
Yes.
I mean, I would say the only thing is if I mean, I'm not saying don't go out and, you know, some, like, amazing person comes from New York, but they have to be really strong in California.
Not New York.
Yeah, they have to really understand California education and the Bay Area context.
Yeah, right? And in California, but...
Yeah, it's very different than most states.
Yeah.
California's credentialing is different,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, totally different. Yeah. How about, do they need to be bilingual? Does help matter?
I think it's a plus.
It's a plus if they're
plus, bilingual. So we put something like...
but it's not required, you know, like,
required,
it's
yeah.
not required.
Yeah. Okay. So do you even want it on the app?
Well, I think saying it's plus.
It's a plus.
It's fine.
Okay,
it's
plus.
Fine.
Okay.
They'd have to be multilingual for us.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many other ways that they can work with people in the community,
okay,
so I don't want that to
sure.
defer them from applying.
Yeah.
Sure. And how about, do they need a doctorate degree?
No.
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 I don't think
however,
so.
However, for me, I don't know about the board, but my personal thing is I want someone who is at least assistant superintendent or superintendent level. Like
so
to me,
a cabinet level,
because to me, unless you're a stellar director, it's
yeah.
hard to move into our spot. So at least if they've had, and a lot of experience, right? Like not 1 year, you know.
No, we wouldn't
right.
even consider somebody.
So experience in
yeah.
cabinet level or superintendent
well,
level.
But every
director.
Every district does it differently.
Yeah.
I mean, and Eastside, somebody to me who we call them a director is qualified to be a superintendent.
Yeah.
So I feel like it should be somebody who has a lot of background, but
yeah,
I don't think we should say.
And I say that because
yeah.
in some districts they don't have assistant superintendents. Mm.
They just have
directors
or
cabinet level.
Okay.
Coordinators. I don't, as long as they're coordinator, they could be ready
yeah.
to be a superintendent
yeah.
as well. I mean, I don't want that to limit somebody
okay.
who's qualified.
Okay.
Okay. You're going to get a chance to see everybody that's coming in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, but some people would read the application and say, oh, they're not going to give
yeah.
me a chance.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't want
and
that to happen.
For that purpose, right?
Yeah, I don't want
and
that
I set
to happen.
Up the profile.
Right.
Okay. So a few comments. For those of you who don't know me, what you see is what you get. I mean, there's no false pretenses. I'm pretty much the same dude all the time.
That's good, Eric.
So this is the first time in which we have reversed
yeah.
the process.
Yeah.
And I take responsibility because I blew it the first time. But it's interesting to see that the board validate the community
yep.
versus typically it's the community that validates the board in a lot of things that were said along the way.
Yeah.
Really want to thank Johanna for her work in coordinating.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Johanna.
And also, she got her folks out there as well, and the classified people have
thank
been coming, so that's wonderful. And the principals and VPs, and when we've gone out to the sites, I ask and plead for you to keep this momentum going. People
absolutely.
Have come out to talk to us, which means they are willing to come and have some conversations. So I plead for you to keep that momentum going. Keep reaching out to some folks who maybe have not come in the past. We've had phenomenal experiences where we've had three languages in the room at the same time and with 30 people and having great conversations and people contributing. The other thing I will say, this is definitely an editorial for what we've heard and what you guys have talked about, and that is, you talked about trust. That's huge. And I will ask that whoever comes in, that there's going to have to be a modicum of trust of that person for a minute. Now, Ronald Reagan had a famous saying, trust and verify. So it's not blind trust, but if you're going to do healing, you've got to put out some olive branches of trust with verification along the way. So that's my editorial to you guys as a community. The community is incredible.
Yeah.
They've given us rich dialogue. It is a place where, you know, I come from a district that's very similar to this. People don't realize the similarities between Campbell in terms of our 55% Latino and 30% white population that people don't know about in this community. So I feel like I have a sense of what's going on here. One of the things we will do as we are doing our background checks will be they have to have a proven track record of some of the things you talked about.
Oh, good.
Not, so that's the question is, you know, you got to prove it to us that you say you've done this. Show us and talk to people, have they demonstrated that they were able to do this? And so that's one of the questions that kind of digs deeper than what's either in an application or what's in a reference letter and some of those other things.
Can I just ask you a question? So when you say, like, when I think of background checks, I always think of, you know, does this person have a criminal record, does blah, blah. So when you do background checks, what do you actually do? Do you talk to people at the site? Like, what physically do you do?
So here's the first thing
you
do.
Can you tell us?
I will tell you, let's say Bonnie Mace's decides she wants to be the superintendent. She sets up 5 references, letters, so we will talk to those people. But then I'm going to call so-and-so from the county office. You know Bonnie. Tell me what you know about her. I'm going to call somebody else that I know. Tell me what you know about her. So we're not just relying on the letters or the references that they picked, because we're connected enough up and down the state to be able to say on our Tuesday meetings, hey, does anybody know this person? What do you know about them? Do you know somebody who knows something about them? So we can get deeper than, as I said, just the information that we receive.
So do you go through Youth Truth and see what's been reported by the community on Youth Truth as well?
The Youth Truth survey.
Yeah, and I say that because a lot of times they have a perspective on the administration. Mm-hmm. Right? It may not be the superintendent specifically, but that whole culture of their district can be reflected through Youth Truth.
And maybe we can put that down. It's not something we've used in the past, but you know, we're always looking for different types of angles to find authentic information on an employee.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yep. That helps us understand what you do in addition to just the resume.
It's beyond. He's understating out because we go into really deep places with people who have worked with them a long time ago. So I mean, you've seen all, see a lot of stuff.
So you understand.
I'd like to make one other comment. This has been interesting for me, and we both talked about this. The threads that are going through all of the groups. It's amazing how much in common what you've said and what the community and parents and churches
and students
and it's really pretty amazing. Would we say surprised?
It's going to make our job a lot easier.
Yeah.
Right. Because there's not a lot of disparity in what any of you did. A few things, but in general,
there's common threads.
There is common threads.
You've identified areas that today that if people are in the audience would be shaking their heads. Yep. We just said that. Right.
Yep. So maybe next time when you do this, you'll have them do the same thing. Like the community's first and then the board comes later.
I think bring that forward.
Which is kind of nice. It's a different lens because it's better actually to have the community first because then you're not prejudiced against what the board says, right? You're hearing from them, and then if we reflect it, then it's better.
Yeah, it helps
when
the board reflects, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're supposed to. Any other questions for Eric or Fred about next steps?
So I guess the question is, with everything you heard, we got a superintendent out there to get? I mean, we've been asking for the world, right?
We're working on it.
You have been.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on it.
And so we're looking for, and now that we've done this, and we still have, one more day here on Friday, would be a sense of, okay, now we know what the district is looking for in general. We will tell you, you've already had several people pull applications and apply. It's not necessarily the smartest thing to do because
they don't know what they're applying for.
Because then you sort of
wonder.
Can you tell us what the next step is for us here? Is it February 26th?
For us is we're going to develop a professional profile. We'll get that to you probably by the end of next week. You'll okay it, and then we'll start to post that with our website.
So I think that we have a special board meeting on the 26th.
Okay.
So we will look at it.
I
think it's a Monday. Is it 26th a Monday?
Tuesday.
So we have a special board meeting on the 26th. Are you going to be here or not? No, probably not.
No.
We will just be looking at the profile and approving.
And then you give us feedback if it's reflects and so on. And then
it goes up on the website and all over.
Then we can start advertising. Well, we already have the days we're advertising.
Anybody else have any questions? I want to thank the community. I want to thank Eric and Fred for really spending time with us and for enjoying all the fruits that our community has to offer. And thanks to everyone, and we'll see you on the 26th.
Well, I was just kidding.